Lord, we give you the meeting.
Amen.
We pray that you will enlighten us.
Amen.
And open your word to us.
Amen.
How much we need the leading and the teaching of your holy anointing.
Amen.
And we open our hearts to you.
Amen.
Pray that your light will shine upon us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we come back to the outline for the evening. That's the front page.
Yes.
Last night we saw that there's a very basic spiritual principle concerning the building of the church. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul open to us a wonderful mystery. I think everybody knows concerning the story of Adam and Eve. You heard that story before, right? And all of us knew that, of course, that's the creation of man, right? But Paul, in Ephesians 5, told us behind that creation was a great mystery. And this mystery was concerning Christ and the church. This is very important for us to see. To see that the church must come out 100% from Christ alone. Just like Eve was built out of that rib from Adam. Which verse is it that tells us Adam was a type of Christ who was to come? Romans 5:14. I'm glad. Everybody remembers that verse. Adam was really a type of Christ. And we have to realize that Eve was definitely a type of the wonderful church.
Amen.
The bride of Christ.
Yes.
And just as Adam was put into a deep sleep by God, and God opened his side and took a rib out of Adam's side. And out of that rib, Eve was built. You have to be impressed with a word in the Bible that the Holy Spirit used. Eve was built. Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. And this word formed was the word used just like a potter forming a vase, a container out of the clay. So Adam was definitely created in a different way than Eve. Eve was built out of that very rib from Adam. Meaning to say that a church today can only be built exclusively out of the life of Christ. The church is not man's organization. It's not built by any methods or human capability. Last night we didn't read verses in Psalm 147, that says, in the building of Jerusalem, God desires not the power of horses, nor the strength of the legs of man. He didn't desire that. But only if he builds. If the Lord builds the house. And Zechariah tells us, not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. You all need to remember all these verses. And of course the verse in John 15 concerning the vine and the branches. The Lord says, he is the vine and we are the branches. And apart from me, the Lord said, apart from me, you can do what Nothing. You may say, well, we are so capable. Definitely, you're capable in doing so many things. No doubt about that. But concerning building up of his church, none of us are capable. Because the church is built exclusively by the life of Christ. And I hope that you spend some time to get into this outline. It's really not simple. You need to see the revelation. That's why Paul said, I speak concerning Christ and the church, a great mystery. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. And this life is nothing less than a person of the Lord Jesus himself. The whole New Testament tells us Christ is our life. No wonder Paul tells us so clearly, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And he said, for me to live is Christ. Without living such a life, it is not possible to build a church. You can build an organization, you can build a mega, whatever you call it. You can, form a so-called church. But whether the Lord will accept it and recognize it, this is altogether another question. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that the building of the church, the spiritual principle behind it, is that it is exclusively through his life. And we saw at the very end in the Bible, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, is what? Where is it from?
Coming down
out of heaven
from God.
Out of heaven from God, not out of this earth. And it is not from men, but from God. Praise the Lord. I think the whole scriptures, if you will really see with your spiritual eyes, you will realize that the church cannot be built by any other means. Remember what Zechariah said. Let us read again Zechariah. Second to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. Good to read the Word of God. This chapter, Zechariah saw a vision, a wonderful vision. Verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? Zechariah said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other one at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered to me, now, what was the answer? This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. This is the church. The wonderful church life. Is that the answer? Are you sure? Stephanie, if I ask you, what is the golden lampstand? What would you say?
The church.
The church. Of course, immediately you've been told to the church. Right? I don't think any one of us will give such an answer like you and Zechariah. Mm-hmm. Daniel shouts, if I ask you, what is the golden lampstand?
Church.
Of course. And how do you prove it's a church?
Revelation
chapter 1 to 3. I know that too. But how come the Lord didn't say that to you? I don't think any one of us would ever give such an answer here. What are the golden lampstand, or what is this golden lampstand here in Zechariah chapter 4, George? Were you able or ever thought of such an answer? This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Will you ever give an answer to the question, what is that, a golden lampstand? What is it? I don't think any one of us would come to the idea to give such an answer. Not even Ezra. Right, Ezra? 你会不会给这样的一个答案啊? I don't think so, right? I don't believe so. None of us are so capable to give us such an answer. But you need to realize this is a very crucial, very important answer. Not by power, not by might, not by any man's ability. Not because Zerubbabel is so capable. Not because Joshua, the high priest, was so faithful. Of course he was faithful. But it's not by power, it's not by might, not by human capability, but by my spirit. This is the definition of lampstand. So that should show you that the building up of the church today is not by any of us. Because I have heard so many people saying, well, you know, this is my church. I am the pastor. I build up this church. And the Lord will say, this is your church. It's not my church. Whatever man is capable of building is definitely not the Lord's church. That is why there are so many different kinds of strange churches. May the Lord open our eyes to really see. The church is a wonderful bride of Christ. It should be without spot, without wrinkle. It should be holy, without blemish. It should be glorious. It's the body of Christ. The bride of the Lamb. The church is God's kingdom today. It is not just a place where you go for a sermon on Sunday morning. Sit there and there's a little box there where you drop your dollars and then go home and make somebody rich. That's not the church. Definitely not. The church is something so precious to God. And the Lord himself, as we read this morning, the Lord himself is the chief cornerstone. And we all are the living stones to be built up together. It's not a material place. It's not a human organization. It's not just a meeting place. It's not just some kind of a fellowship. No. May the Lord open our eyes. This is why in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant us all of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, not just to know him, but to know the church, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, the body of Christ. And Christ was appointed by God to be head over all things to the church. The Pope is not the head, but Christ is the head.
Amen.
Can anyone replace your head for your body? But what if I cut off your head and replace your head with somebody's head? How about that? Would you like that? Then why would you accept the Pope as the head or somebody else as the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Christ. That means you have to know him in a real way. Just to say Christ in a doctrinal way is not acceptable. Everybody can say that. But to really know him in a living way and day by day submitting to his headship. As Paul said, growing up in all things into the head, which is Christ. And in a church life to let Christ head up everything.
Amen.
So the building up of the church is definitely not something simple. May the Lord show this to us. And that is why it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch, not abiding in a vine, but cut off from the vine, do you think it can bring forth fruit? Definitely not. There is only one way for a branch to bring forth fruit, and that is to abide in the vine. Praise the Lord. I hope this principle is clear to everyone. That is why today in a church life, we all need to be people living Christ. Because the church can only be built by this wonderful life, the life of Christ. Now, let us go to the second point here. Second principle in the Old Testament. The first mention of the building was the building of Eve. So remember that. And the second time in the Bible that word building was used was what? It was the building of Noah's Ark. And again, I think every one of us knows the story of Noah. Right? When was the first time you heard about Noah?
10 years ago.
Oh, you got saved quite late. Let me ask Mo. Mo, when did you hear about Noah? When you were 6 years old in a children's meeting, Sunday school somewhere, right? You heard about Noah. Huh. What about you? Right? You heard about Noah. What is the ark to you today? For many of you, it was a story that happened almost 5,000 years ago, right? During the time of Noah. Long time ago. And you thought it has definitely nothing to do with you. Right? 6 years old, hearing the story of Noah, that's a wonderful story. People at that time, I believe it. Later on, maybe you thought about it. But the story of Noah has an antitype, the ark. And the whole story of Noah has an antitype today in the New Testament. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm not going to explain beginning in verse 18. It'll take too much time. Okay? But it's perhaps good to mention because a lot of people misunderstood this verse, thinking that the Lord, after he died, he went to Hades to preach to the spirits in prison. No, it doesn't mean that. But in verse 20, let us just jump to verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Now verse 21 says, there is also an antitype which now saves us. And what was it?
Baptism.
And Peter explained not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here, you have to realize that the ark, during the time of Noah, when the ark was built, there was an antitype in the New Testament. In the New Testament. And Peter mentioned particularly baptism. Baptism. 中文, I'm sorry, I'm going to speak Chinese. Because in the Chinese translation, the word baptism is 受洗. 这个洗这个字，中文呢，师堂说，哦，你受洗了没有？用这个洗这个字，但是彼得在这里特别说得很清楚的，受浸不是要把你的脏的污秽的洗掉的，受浸。 跟洗完全没有关系。You know, because the Chinese says to be washed. But baptism has nothing to do with washing. But a Chinese translation for the word baptism is to wash. You're being washed. This is absolutely a terrible concept. It's wrong. Because they thought, well, what's water for? What do you do with water, apart from drinking and swimming? You wash yourself. So in the translation with a natural concept, they use the word wash. But it has nothing to do with washing. No. Baptism has something to do with immersion, putting you into Christ. And putting you into his body. What is the body of Christ? The church. So, when you are being baptized, you are being baptized into Christ. And you are being baptized into, specifically, the body of Christ. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And this one body is the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? The church. Now, Peter said, the building of the ark, going through water, it's just like baptism. According to the Bible, there were two types of baptism mentioned in the New Testament. The first time was crossing the Red Sea, when the water parted. You remember the water parted in the Red Sea? And the people of Israel went through water. But when Pharaoh and the army also followed and pursued them, the water came and buried them in the Red Sea and just destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And Paul, in his writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, tells us that is a picture of baptism, going through water. Praise the Lord. So crossing the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. But now Peter used Noah's ark also going through water. You know, according to the Bible, water is also a type of judgment. At the time of Noah, we don't have time tonight to read. But you all know the story since you were children. At a children's meeting. So there's no need for us to read, right? Or should we read? Well, we'll read it. We'll come back to read it. During the time of Noah, the world at that time was so fallen and evil, terrible. So there was no choice for God but to destroy that world at the time of Noah. And that was God's judgment by water. In the days of old, God would judge the world by water. So, water is a type of judgment. Just like the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his whole army were destroyed. They perished by the water coming down upon them, and they perished. But the people of Israel went through the water. Just like Noah going through the water inside the ark. So if you're not inside the ark, there is no salvation for you. No salvation. So Peter used this word salvation by baptism. Salvation by baptism. And to fully understand this, you have to realize what happened during baptism. So do not think that baptism is just a ritual. No. Baptism is not a ritual. Baptism is very important. Just like at the time of Noah, without that ark, without you entering into that ark, there is no salvation for you. You will perish with the world at that time. The only way of salvation at that time is for Noah to build the ark. And that ark is the type of Christ and the church for our salvation today. So, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accepted Christ, why is there a need to be baptized? You know, we always ask people, are you saved? Now let me ask you today, are you saved? Are you saved?
From what?
Right, from what? Are you saved from what? Firstly, you have to tell me, are you saved? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Saved from what? No, I'm going to ask you, saved from what? You have to tell me, saved from what? You must say, I'm saved from God's judgment. And there are different kinds of judgment. Believe me, there are different kinds of judgment. The first judgment you're saved from is the eternal judgment. One day, you will face God's judgment and be thrown into the lake of fire. That is the first aspect of our salvation, to be saved from that eternal judgment and damnation. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. So that judgment was to save you from eternal damnation. That's the initial salvation. Now, what about from the judgment seat of Christ for us believers? Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's not talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about the believers. So one day, we the believers, we will have a different judgment. Otherwise, if I think I'm saved, then I can do anything I like. And I'm saved, praise the Lord. Then I can do anything I like, right? No. No, I cannot. Because for me, as a believer, one day I have to give an account to Christ. So I will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the tribunal of Christ. This is not for the unbelievers. This is for the believers. Many Christians don't believe that. So they are half-believers. They believe what they want. But the Word of God says, and Paul says, at least in two places. One is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the other one is in Romans chapter 14. That we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and Paul included. And we have to give an account of how we live as believers today on this earth, whether you like it or not. You may think, well, I don't believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's what matters is what it says here. Should we read it? You like to read it? Okay, let's read it. Let's read. Firstly, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let us read. Nobody likes judgment, but there is judgment. Verse 10. Huh? Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you sure? We? Who are we? Who are the we? Are you sure it's the unbelievers or the believers?
The believers.
We. For we, the believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. My goodness. So, you think the Christians are all good? Yeah? Well, am I not saved? Yes, you're saved from eternal damnation. But hey, what about from the judgment seat of Christ? How about that? That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, my goodness. You only know the love of the Lord. You don't know the terror of the Lord. Do you want to know the love or also the terror? You know, we Christians like to speak about love, and me too. No doubt about it. We need the love. But you know, There's another aspect called terror of the Lord. And not for the unbelievers, but for us believers who, after we are saved and receiving the life, being born again, we still live the life in the flesh doing whatever we like. And think that nothing is going to happen to us because I'm saved. Hey, what about the terror of the Lord? So, salvation has different aspects. Don't think, oh, there's only one aspect. No, no, no. There are different aspects. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust that we are well known in your conscience. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul and all the apostles, they lived a life that is righteous, that is holy, that is acceptable to the Lord. Because they knew the terror of the Lord. If you don't know the terror of the Lord, you can do anything you like today and think you can get away with it. Don't think you can get away with it. Now, should we also read Romans 14 or not? Yes. You like to read the terror verses? Oh, Lord Jesus. Verse 10 also, right? Right. 14:10. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? So, hey, you're talking about brothers, okay? Not unbelievers, right? Your brother? Or your sister? Yeah? You love your brother or you show contempt to your brother? Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? Who are we? The brothers. You are the brother. Right? For we shall all stand, not sit, but stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So, don't interpret this verse like, oh, praise the Lord, I just bow my knees today and I'll just confess I'm a Christian. Not as simple as that. The explanation of this verse is we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then, verse 12, each of us brothers, not each of us unbelievers, but brothers, shall give an account of himself to God. Oh, there will be time when the Lord comes back. Everybody thought about, when the Lord comes back, we'll just everybody's going to go to heaven, right? Just like you. It's a strange concept. But here it says, each one of us shall give account of himself to God. You have to give an account, Lord Jesus. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, you must live in such a way that you are saved when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the second question. Are you saved from the judgment seat? Will you be saved then? And we are living here at the end of this age, where the great tribulation, the 3.5 years of great tribulation, will be coming. Now, the question of all questions, are you going to be raptured, or do you have to go through the great tribulation? And that 3.5 years of great tribulation is actually the antitype of Noah's flood, because the Lord used Noah's as an example of the day of his coming. Right. Do I have it here in the verse? I think we do, right? Matthew chapter 24. Verse 37, are we going to read it? Let's read it. And there are more verses than that, but let's just read Matthew chapter 24. Beginning in verse 37. What did the Lord say here? Matthew 24, beginning in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes. My goodness. So Noah's days, mm-hmm. with the flood and the building of the ark, mm-hmm. with all that, mm-hmm. has an antitype today. And that refers to the Lord's coming. And the Lord's coming is not a simple coming. There will be a 3.5 years of great tribulation. And in that great tribulation, it is comparable to the flood. That came during the time of Noah and just carried them all away, and they all perished and drowned. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were what?
Eating,
drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 6, it didn't say that during the days of Noah they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling. And in Genesis chapter 6, they're talking about evil days. People were wicked in the flesh. And, the angels there, the fallen ones, came down and mixed with the daughters of men and brought forth Nephilims, giants in those days. And all the wickedness that happened. But here it didn't mention that. Why? Because the Lord is talking to us believers. You and I, as Christians, you won't be doing all those evil things. I don't think so. You won't be going to casino. I don't think any of you will go to casino every day and gamble. Will you? Will you be robbing a bank? Will you be doing that? I don't think so. Maria robbing the bank. It's not possible. It's not possible. Right? You won't be cheating, killing people. Will you be doing that? I don't think so. Will you be doing that?
No.
Shooting. No, you won't be doing that. But you know what you'll be doing? Eating and drinking. Enjoying your life today. Marrying, getting married, and other gospel it says buying and selling. And you're so busy and doing so many other things, and you're fully distracted, enjoying your life. This is a fun, loving age. Cruising. That's cool. Can you imagine while you're cruising in a boat, enjoying your life there, sitting there under the sun, and the Lord comes?
You see, you get raptured. You will get sunburned. You won't get raptured. You get sunburned. Marrying and getting married and feasting. Wow, what a wonderful feast there. From morning till evening, everybody's just enjoying this life. And you're so busy every day. You go to the company, working there, coming home, and you have no time for the Lord. And Noah is telling you, hey, the flood is coming. Ah, look at the weather. What do you mean the flood is coming? California flood. Hey, look at the sunshine. That's why we live in California. What do you mean the flood is coming? Nobody will believe you. Nobody will believe you that, oh, you know, the great tribulation is just around the corner somewhere. As in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, this is the point, because the ark was in preparation. And when the ark, as long as the ark was still in preparation, you won't notice any change in the weather, believe me, you won't notice. There'll be sunshine every day. And suddenly when Noah is telling people the flood is coming, they will all laugh at him. What are you talking about? The flood is coming. You're nuts. Something missing in your head. Look at the nice weather. California weather. What do you mean the flood is coming? Nobody's going to believe it. Until the day Noah entered the ark. That day. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one taken and one left. Everybody interprets this. Oh, one is the unbeliever and the other one is believer. No. So, at least you have to really know today that the ark is another aspect of the building of the church.
Amen.
For your salvation.
Amen.
If you read from Genesis chapter 3 on, after man fell, all the way to Genesis chapter 6, you can really see that the salvation is a progressive salvation. For Adam, God made a coat of fur to cover Adam. because Adam used leaves to cover themselves. It may look good in the first day. And after 4 days, the leaves will wither away and fall off, and your flesh will be fully exposed. And even in the first day, if the wind is so strong, all of your covering will be gone. It will not stand. It shows that this is man's own righteousness. It's not going to stand. You can cover yourselves with whatever you made. It's not going to work. So, what did God do? God made a coat of skin. That's why I brought this tonight. No, that's not why. The coat. That skin fits him quite well, and it will last. It is lasting.
Amen.
You know, this leather jacket is going to last for many, many years to come. Christ as our righteousness. Christ as our garment, our covering, is really our salvation. That is why when you were baptized into Christ, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, what do you do? You put on Christ. Praise the Lord. You put on Christ. So baptism is not a small matter. But then, if you come to the story of Abel, Abel now learned how to offer the offerings, the lamb, the whole lamb as the sin offering to God. And it was so well pleasing to God, God accepted Abel's offering, which is more than just this. So now Abel realized the whole sin offering, Christ as our sin offering, the whole lamb. Even for you to enjoy. Not just the skin, but you can even eat it. You remember people of Israel coming out of Egypt? The Passover lamb, what did they do with the lamb? Just to get the skin to cover themselves? It's good to cover yourself when it's cold. But then if you're hungry and you're empty, with an empty stomach, just with a covering, it's not going to help you too long. Right? So, salvation requires you to enjoy the Lamb. This is very good. And then at the time of Enoch, what happened? The salvation was even more wonderful. Now, you see a man walking with God.
Amen.
You know, walked with God. You know, walking with God is really wonderful. That means there is a real fellowship, right? Number one, there's a real fellowship. You don't just walk with somebody without talking, right? But then, he walked with God 300 years. Can you imagine? 300 years walking with God. So there's the fellowship and there's the oneness. There's sin oneness. But it took him 300 long years, thank you. 300 long years. Do you have 300 years to live? 30? Maybe. Maybe. That is, if the Lord delays 30 years, it's coming. You may not have 30 years. So at the time of Noah, it took him maybe 25 years to build that ark. 20 years to build that ark. I forgot how many years. Because several years ago, we calculated the time. I can go back and recalculate. But you have to realize that today, the church life, the building of the ark is your real salvation.
Amen.
You think you can survive just being an individual Christian? Tell me. Suppose your daughter, Jasmine, how old is Jasmine? 13. 14, says John. I don't like to live in the house anymore with a family. I don't like the family anymore. I'm going to leave the family and be on my own, Jasmine. Huh? How about that? You may not survive. You definitely will not survive. Try being happy here. 1 month. By yourself somewhere. Try. Would you like to try? No? Are you sure?
Can I survive?
You think you can live a holy, proper, righteous Christian life without a church? The church is your salvation today. How are you going to be saved from yourself? That's why we Christians, individually, we are a strange person. Everybody is so... what? Queer.
Peculiar.
So peculiar. So... how do you describe yourself? Strange. So individualistic, hard-headed, full of yourself. How are you going to be safe from yourself? Tell me. By living alone? No. You cannot be safe from your peculiarities if you're by yourself. But you in the church life, you learn to serve together. You're under the light of the Lord, and you're exposed. But yet, there is salvation, there's grace, there's a life.
Amen.
But if you're just by yourself somewhere in the blue, I don't know where, maybe in Mojave Desert, or Joshua Tree, or wherever you are, you know, you're there by yourself in a cabin, and rest assured, you are not going to be safe there from yourself. Yourself will just grow fatter and fatter. And you will be more strange every day. And nobody can help you. Because there's nobody there to help you. The birds cannot help you. The coyotes cannot help you. But you're in the church life. All the time, you have the saints there telling you, no, brother, that's not good for you. And all the time here, when we're serving together, you have the fellowship. And you're exposed, and you have examples of brothers and sisters walking by the Spirit. And you're in the light. You know that certain things you should not be doing. And there is the supply and the help. And so much salvation.
Yeah.
If you're not in the church life, let me tell you, it's hard. I have no confidence that I will survive if I'm alone. I'm alone somewhere. Impossible to survive. So, the ark is my salvation. And today we are building this ark. Praise the Lord. You have to realize that when you were baptized into Christ and into His body. Not just once and for all. That means in our experience, you are beginning to build this ark. Because the church, on one hand, we are the church. But on the other hand, the church is in the process of being built today. If the church, the ark, is finished, the Lord will come back.
Yes.
The Lord will come back.
Yes.
You have to realize that today we're watching for the world situation, right? Concerning the Lord's coming. But the most important sign for the Lord's coming is when the ark is finished.
Amen.
When you begin to see some churches are maturing and being built, and you can see the glory of the Lord. If you start to see that, you better
hurry up.
Exactly. That will be an alarm to warn you that the day is approaching. So the day that Noah and his family entered into the ark, the flood came. The flood came. Not earlier and not later. No. So, today, what are we doing here? The church life is our real salvation. You need to see this. If you are in a certain group, you know, a lot of Christians today, for them, the church is just a place you go to meet and then you go home and that's it. There's no building. You know what building is? What is building? Building is when everything fits so well together. Look at this building here. Look at the walls, the ceiling. Everything was so fiddly framed together. This is building. Many Christians, they have no concept of building. They're just saying, they're just a believer, and that's all. But are you being built in with others together into a dwelling place of God? But this building here, in Genesis chapter 6, Noah's Ark, that building is for our salvation. It's not for God. It's for us. So there is an aspect in the building of the church that is for my salvation and for your salvation if you're in it. Amen. If you're not in it, then you're not in it. What can I say? So let me ask you, are you in the building of the ark today or not? You need to be able to answer this question. If you have no confidence, you cannot say yes or no. You don't know, then I hope you will know by tonight whether you are in the building of this ark or not. Praise the Lord. I can say, amen, I am in the building of this ark. Amen. Are you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you?
Yes.
We better be sure. We should know what we are doing today. Otherwise, you will be, I know, some of you are in this group, that group, that group, and after 5 years you realize, this is not the ark, so you get out, but 5 years is gone. Then you go to another group, and then, after 10 years you find out that's not it. And then you go to another group, you go from group to group to group, and then time is gone. So today, you need to know what God wants. You need to know where you are, whether you are a part of the building of this ark or not. Don't just take it for granted and say, well, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, what else do you want from me? Well, wasn't Noah saved? Tell me. Was he a believer?
Yes.
Was he a righteous man?
Yes,
that's what it says. Did he walk with God?
Yes,
he walked with God. He found favor in God's eyes? Yes, he did. But then why does he have to build the ark?
To be saved.
To be saved. Because at the time of Noah, the situation was much worse as at the time of Abel. Don't think that offering a lamb is good enough. No. During the time of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, you have to build the ark. And it's a big one. Because that salvation, that kind of salvation, the building up of the church, includes all of God's creation. For you, just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be born again is individual. But God desires to save the whole creation. That's why, if it is just for Noah's family, do you think they need such a big ark? If it's just for your family, just you and yourself, because you're not married yet. Well, just you and yourself, and you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a big bus? No. Well, perhaps a four-seater, right?
Smart.
Or smart. But it's not so smart for you.
No.
Because you're so tall. Right? Creep into the smart. That's not very smart. But, you know, if it is just the salvation for eight people, you don't need that ark. That size you don't need. You know, somebody booked me a hotel, a good friend, a very dear friend, booked for me because, I was going to stay overnight in Hong Kong just one night. So somebody booked me in Noah's Ark. This hotel there called Noah's Ark. And the owner really built it according to the specs of Genesis chapter 6. So big. It's as big as this building here. Can you imagine this building? So big. For eight people, you need such a building for eight people? I don't think Noah was a giant. Noah and his family, they're all giants of this size. Even if they're this size, but the whole point is that God told Noah to bring all of the animals. You remember Romans 8, so the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the glory of the sons of God. So the building of the church today is not only salvation for you and me, but it is a salvation for the whole creation that God in Christ Jesus might reconcile the whole creation to God. Why? Because due to Adam's fall, the whole creation is subject to corruption. But I don't want to get into that. What I want to show you tonight is that the church is our salvation.
Amen.
It's 9 o'clock. You want to stay here until 10? No. It's 9 o'clock. Anyway, may the Lord open our eyes.
Amen.
Don't think that the story of Noah is just a children's story. Definitely not. Definitely not. It is a wonderful salvation, really. Anyone who knows the church life and who has experienced the church life will testify to you. Such a real church life is a salvation to you and me day by day. Especially from yourself. Especially from your own concept. Oh, if you are so hard-headed in your concept, you will be exposed right here in the church life. But if you're by yourself, you will never be exposed. But here in the church life, the exposure is your salvation. And there is a supply of life. There is the wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow we can share a little bit more, just a little bit more concerning the building of this ark, right? But tonight you need to see the church life is your salvation.
Amen.
Amen.